Okay, so I came across a comment of the Sefer HaChinuch that I wanted to develop a little bit. Then my future son-in-law sent me some Mayer Makomos connected to this. I figured once I already came across it and my future son-in-law sent me some stuff about it that maybe we would talk a little bit about it. I want to add on one or two horrors about this. It's a topic that I have sort of loosely spoken about in the past, but I think we could get a little bit more insight into it today. So you all know we're learning Maseches Makos, and one of the sugyas that keeps coming up in Maseches Makos is the sugya of Lav She'in Bo Masa. That we know there's a halacha that if you do a lav, that there's no action to it. So there's a machlokas ha-tanoim. Some of the tanoim say lav shei momaise ein lokin alav, and some of the tanoim say lav shei momaise lokin alav. Fine. That you get lashes, you don't get lashes. So one of the big issues that's discussed in the sugya of lav shei momaise is what about if you have a lav that you could either violate it shelo al yedei maise or you could violate it al yedei maise. One of the famous examples of this is the Rambam Shita by Chometz. Owning Chometz Erev Pesach. We're coming up to this Shabbos, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We're coming up to Yom Tov Abba Leinu Latovah. So Bayura and Bayu Matzeh, that's the Isser Dorais of owning Chometz on Pesach. And Bayura and Bayu Matzeh would seem to be a Lav She'ein Bo Maiseh, because the way you violate Bayura and Bayu Matzeh is just owning Chometz on Pesach, just the fact that you go into Pesach and you own the Chometz. So it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maiseh. So the famous Rambam says that it depends. When it comes to Lav Shema Maisa, if you violated Ayidei Maisa, you do an action, then you get lashes. If you violated Shelo Ayidei Maisa, then you don't get lashes. That's the famous Rambam. So there's a Sefer HaChinuch about the Isser of revenge. The Torah says that one is not permitted to take revenge. Simply put, what you would normally assume would be, so let's say I come over to you one day and I say I'd like to borrow a hammer from you. And you say, I'm not lending you a hammer, and you punch me in the face. So then the next day you come to me to borrow a hammer, so I say to you, oh, you didn't lend me a hammer yesterday, I'm not lending you a hammer today, and I punch you in the face. You punch me in the face yesterday, I punch you in the face. That's revenge. So the question is the Isser of revenge, is it a Lav She'yesh Bo Maisa? Or is it Lav She'ein Bo Maisa? So the Sefer HaChinuch says that revenge, really the Isser of revenge is to hate the person. To hate the person that you didn't lend me a hammer, not so I didn't lend you a hammer. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, even if the person takes revenge against the other person by doing a Maisa, even if he does an action, meaning, let's say I come to you and ask you to borrow a hammer, and you say, I'm not lending you a hammer, and you punch me in the face. And then the next day, I come to you and I say, can I borrow a hammer? And you say, oh, you didn't lend me a hammer yesterday, and I'm not lending you a hammer today, and you punch me in the face. So you did an action. You mamish took revenge. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that if your hatred of the person brings you so much as to do an action, let's say to smack him in the face or to do an action of revenge, any kind of action of revenge that you take against a person, so the Sefer HaChinuch says you violate the Isser of revenge, of lo sikom v'lo sitos b'nei amecha. But he says it's a lav she'ein bo maise, it's a lav she'ein maise. And even if you do it, al yedei maise, the Sefer HaChinuch says, even if you do it, sounds like it's against the Rambam. The Rambam said, when you have a lav she'ein bo maise, it depends. If you do it al yedei maise, let's say the Rambam says, if you would bake chametz on Pesach, or if you would buy chametz on Pesach. So if you buy it or bake it on Pesach, you do an action. So the Rambam says you would get lashes. But if the way you violate Bayar Bayi Matzah, if you just left the chametz over, so then it's a lav she'ein bo maise, you won't get lashes. So the Rambam seems to say it depends how you violate it. If you violate it without a maise, there's no lashes. If you violate it with a maise, there is lashes. So the Sefer HaChinuch, in many, many places, seems to be against this. The Sefer HaChinuch contradicts himself in a few places. I'm not going to go into that whole story there, but what we need to know for the Hashkafa Shebedavar is that the Sefer HaChinuch writes that when it comes to revenge, he says that even if you violate the revenge al yedei maisa, even if you do an action to the guy, you take revenge with an action, he says, since fundamentally the isser of revenge is an isser in your mind of hatred of the guy, of being upset with him, and a hatred of this guy for doing something nasty to you. So even if you violated it with a maisa, you don't get lashes, because fundamentally it's viewed as a lav she'emo maisa. The Acharonim, the Levonas HaMincha, others, the Acharonim say that the idea is, because even if you did an action, the real isser of nekama is not the action that you, is not the revenge that you took on the guy, it's the mindset. It's the fact that you have a mindset that you are angry with him and you're nasty with him, and because he wasn't nice to you, you were nice to the person. Because you have that mindset of hatred of him, that's the isser. So since the mindset in the heart is what the isser is, even if you do it through an action, so it's a lav shame on my saying, you don't get lashes. All of that's introduction. But in the course of that discussion, the Sefer HaChinuch says, what is really the isser of revenge? What's the isser in your heart? What's the isser of revenge in your heart that's really the prohibition? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, in the course of that discussion, he says something really very powerful. And I think that this is a very difficult thing for us to, it's a very difficult thing for us to relate to. The Sefer HaChinuch says that and the way my future son-in-law told me, Rabbi Tversky phrased it in this Sefer HaChinuch, is we tend to think that revenge is a problem of midos. It's bad midos. Like, oh, he did something bad to you, so you shouldn't. It's bad midos for you to hate him. If you look inside the Sefer HaChinuch, he says it's much worse than that. It's different. It's not just a problem with bad midos. It's actually a problem. It's a theological problem. It's a philosophical problem. Because the Sefer HaChinuch says that a person is supposed to have this attitude in the world that anything bad that happens to him, it's not the person who did it to you who did it to you. And you shouldn't bear a grudge against the person who did it to you, because the reason it happened to you is not because the person did it to you, but it's because the Rabbonu Shalom arranged for that to happen to you. And not only does he say it's the Rabbonu Shalom who did it to you, but we should realize that it's because of our own actions that's this bad thing, that these bad things happen to us. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. So he says revenge is absurd. If you have the right approach to what happens to you in the world, a guy steals $1,000 from you. He steals a lot of money from you. So you're really angry at that guy. He really did something bad for you. And you again, you're allowed to in court. You're supposed to in court go to try to get the money back. And it's terrible that the guy did it. You're not giving the guy a free pass that it's okay that he stole. Obviously, the Torah is furious that the guy stole. But you're not supposed to be angry at that guy for what he did to you. Because if you were supposed to lose that money, because if you lost that money, if someone stole money from you, that means the Rabbonu Shalom thought that you're supposed to lose that money. And it's because of whatever you're doing in your own life that you lost that money. So it's ridiculous to be angry with him. That's the Sefer HaChinuch says, that's the idea behind revenge. That's the idea behind the Isser of revenge. It's not just bad midos, it's that you have a warped perspective on the world. And so, my future son-in-law said he heard from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman that it's kind of like a person who has this perspective on life, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes where there's like a painting it's not straight in your house, there's like a painting or something hanging, it's not straight. So if you try to get up on something that's not straight to fix it, you'll never get it straight, because you're standing on something that's not straight, so you can't possibly see it being straight. So he says, a person who has that perspective on the world, you're trying to correct something that's not correctable. Because you're trying to think that, oh, if I get angry at the guy, I get back at him, that'll fix everything, but you don't realize the problem is not that he did it to you. The problem is something in your own avoda. The reason why it happened is because of something that you did. When something bad happens to a person, it's not because the other guy did it to you. Somebody smacks you, or somebody, you know, messes you over. If somebody messes you over, the reason it happened to you is not because that guy messed you over. That's a warped perspective on the world. The perspective is because everything that happens to us is because the Rabbonu Shalom thought it should happen to us. Again, this is a big madriga. It's not easy. We tend to think when somebody does something bad to me, I get angry at that guy and I hold it. But the Sefer HaChinuch says that's not just a problem in midos, it's a problem in a krum hashkafas olam. It's a theological problem, because you don't realize that when bad stuff happens to us, we're supposed to realize the Rabbonu Shalom is arranging for it to happen, and it happens for a reason. And he said, and there's also a Sfas Emes. He pointed out to me that there's a Sfasemis that talks about this. And I think this topic we actually spoke about. Maybe I talked about it in the Parsha Shir, or not in the Hashkafa Shir. I don't remember where I speak about what already. But, you know, Yosef tells his brothers, right, when the brothers are all nervous that Yosef is going to take revenge at them. So Yosef says to them, right, listen, I'm not upset at you because I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who arranged this whole thing for me to get. So the brothers sold him into slavery. Now, what the brothers did is terrible. In the same speech that Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers, oh, it's not such a big deal because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also gives the brothers Musa, right? Atem chashavtem l'ra'ah. In other words, so the problem is it sounds like a contradiction within Yosef's, the Sfasemis asks, there's a contradiction within Yosef's speech itself. On the one hand, he's telling the brothers, you know, it was bad that what they did. On the other hand, he says, I'm not going to hold it against you because I realize the Rabbanu Shlom arranged the whole thing that I should get down to Egypt. So this is mamish the exact perfect perspective that you're supposed to have. What the brothers did, it's terrible. They shouldn't have sold him down. It's an aveira what they did. Harbe shluchim lamakum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have gotten Yosef down to Egypt another way if he needed to get him down. The brothers didn't have to sell him into slavery. That was an aveira. We're still paying for that aveira. Right? Chazal say the churban, but they make this happen because brothers got so angry against other brothers that they sent them down to Egypt. But Yosef didn't have the perspective that he was angry at them for doing it. He wasn't angry because he knew the Rabbanu Shlom wanted to get out to Egypt anyway. Again, they deserved the Musar. They deserved the Musar anyway for sending him down. It was terrible that brothers got up against brothers. And they deserved Musar for doing it wrong, but he wasn't angry with them for doing it. He wasn't like down and depressed about it. He realized the whole thing was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Atem chashavtem l'ra'ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashavah l'tovah, l'man l'hachayos amrov, to bring me down here, that I should be able to, you know, to save the entire world, basically, but coming up with this idea about the famine and how to put the stuff away. So, again, but the Musar, the Musar, the Musar of it is the first half of what I want to speak about. It's just that, you know, a person is supposed to develop a perspective on life, and it's not easy to do this, but a person has to know that every bad thing that happens to a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashavah l'tovah, is it happened to you either because whatever it is, the Rabbanu Shalom is sending you a message. Every bad thing, it's not the guy who did it to you is sending you the message. It's not, oh my God, I can't believe that guy did this to me. He's such an idiot. He's such a nasty person. Or when a bad thing happens to you, you know, if a teacher fails you or whatever, or somebody does something, you know, whatever happens to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a result of, it's two things. Number one, it's a result of your own actions, says the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a result of your own actions. And number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen to you. Two sides of the same coin. That's a big madriga to try to when somebody wrongs you or somebody, to not get angry at that guy. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Now the other half of what I wanted to, you know, just close with over here and talk about over here is on the good side. It's on the good side. So I was once had a conversation with my uncle, and I looked briefly for this Mar Mokum. Maybe Rabbi Leibowitz knows where it is, but you know, I tend to walk through life saying all the time that all the good things that happen to me, there's no way that I really deserve them. There's no way that I deserve all the good. I feel like, well, yeah, I know I don't like to say it, I don't like to talk about it, but I feel like my life has been such a, well, yeah, I know, I'm not trying to call attention to it. I feel like my life has been such a string of brachos on top of brachos on top of brachos that I really feel like the Rabbanu Shalom has given me like way more than I deserve. There are a lot of times in life that I feel that way. Like I say that all the time. And my uncle in Eretz Yisrael gets very upset when I say that. He says, you're not allowed to say that. And he showed me a source in the Sefer somewhere that you're not allowed to say such a thing. Because if you got what you got, that's a raya that the Rabbanu Shalom thought that that's what you should get. So you shouldn't walk around saying, as a Mara Mokum, he showed me some Mara Mokum in small letters somewhere, that a person shouldn't walk around saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me way more than I deserve. Because then you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not fair. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you what you deserve, then that's what you deserve. That's what you deserve. Again, that's sort of like the other half of the same coin. The first half of what I'm telling you is that when you get something that you think you didn't deserve, you should realize that you do deserve it. So on the other side, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you good, you shouldn't think that you don't deserve it, because if he gave it to you, it means he wants you to have it. It means you do deserve it. It means that he paid it to you. He's the one who's deciding what you get. So just like on the bad, he decides what you get. When you get good stuff, he's also deciding what you get. The problem is, it's against the pasuk in Chumash. That perspective, right? So, I mean, Yaakov even says, "Katonti mikol ha-chasadim v'mikol ha-emes, asher asisa es avdi." Like, Yaakov Avinu seems to say, right? When he's about to meet Esav, since there's a lot of explanations in the Rishonim what this pasuk means, right? But when Yaakov Avinu is coming back from Eretz Yisrael and he has about to have this meeting with Esav, right? And he sends out the messengers, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and he says Esav's coming with 400. So Vayira Yaakov, Vayitzelo, right? He splits up the people, and then he davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes, asher asisa savdecha ki b'makli. He seems to say the simple pshat again. There's a lot of pshatim what these words mean. Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. But the simple pshat is that Hashem, I'm not worthy of all of the good that you kol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes, asher asisa savdecha ki b'makli avarti sayardi. When I left, I only had my makla, and now I have all this money that I got from love, and you gave. It sounds like he's saying, I'm not worthy of all the good that you've bestowed upon me in my life. That seems to be the simple pshat, and it sounds like Yaakov Avinu, sounds like he was supposed to be saying that. That's a good thing to say, that he really felt that he wasn't deserving of all this stuff. So, again, I leave this for you more as food for thought on this issue. But, I mean, there are many explanations. Some people, many Rishonim say what it means, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes, means that I feel like I used up all of my zechuyos already, that all the good that you did got me, so Katonti, now I have nothing left. So I'm afraid now when I come to meet Esav, I'm going to have no zechusim left, because you already, you know, paid me, maybe what I do deserve, but you paid me, but I already got everything. So now I ran out of all merits. So now I'm going to face Esav. So I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to. That I ran out, you know, or maybe Shema Yigar Machet or other things. I mean, again, in the context of what I'm saying, but maybe it's not a contradiction. Maybe you could say it's not a contradiction that, again, a person generally speaking is supposed to feel that he's not worthy of all the brachas that Hashem gave him, but. But on the other hand, once a Kaddish Baruch Hu did give it to him, so there's obviously a reason why he did give it to you. So, you know, so you are worthy. So, but just beklalos, what I'm trying to say, generally speaking, with this shmuz is that whether a person, whatever good a person gets, or the stuff that a person thinks is bad, but is the Rabbanu Shalom sending him something good in just a form that looks like bad, you know, we're supposed to realize that whatever happens to us, there's a Rabbanu Shalom up there who's pulling the strings, and he's the source of the negative that happens to us. He's the source of the positive that happens to us. And we're supposed to have the attitude that if a person tries his best to be an Eved Hashem and to be Kovei Itim LaTorah and to daven the right way and to eat the right foods and make the right brachos and to do the best that he can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sit there and shower blessings upon him. Again, we talked about in the past, Schar Mitzvah B'Hayal Malekah, how does that fit into this whole thing? Right? The Sefer Chinuch says everything that happens to you, bad and good, you're supposed to think came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, but usually we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reward us. So we've talked about that. Does he reward us only in this world? Does he reward us in the next world? That you have to look at the other Hashkafish, because we talked about that in the past. There's a Rambam who says that he does give us a little bit of benefit. The benefit in this world is just so we should be able to do more mitzvahs to get more benefit, which is the real benefit in the next world. But the bottom line is that whatever happens to a person in this world, you're supposed to realize it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no reason to harbor resentment over a person who does something negative to you. Somebody does something negative to you and it hurts and he took away something from you and he made fun of you or whatever it is. It's not because, like Chovas Halvavos writes, I've said this many times also, the Chovas Halvavos writes that anytime a person accuses you of something that you didn't really do. So your attitude is supposed to be, if you only knew what I really did. As you're supposed to take mussar, if people give you mussar for stuff that you don't deserve, the Chovas Halvavos says you're supposed to take the mussar and apply it to the areas that you really do deserve. So again, we shouldn't get angry at people who wrong us. You're not supposed to take revenge or feel vengeful, feel hatred, because people wrong us, the Sefer Chinuch says, it was supposed to happen to you. Supposed to happen to you. And the good things that happen to us also, it's not the people who do it for us. You have to have a karas hatov, you have to appreciate, but it's the Rabbanu Shalom
who sets everything. That's the whole Ramban al Torah, where he says that the whole idea of Kibud Avim is Hakar Satov to your parents, which is supposed to bring you to Hakar Satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because your parents are only the intermediaries to bring you all the good in the world that happened through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So hopefully, as we go this Shabbos into Chodesh Nisan, where we got to see the Yad HaGadola, Sha'asa Hashem, we got to feel that Leil Shimurim, that we were on that night of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamish sent his hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvodo V'atzmo Mamish took us out of Mitzrayim, and there was probably no time in Jewish history where we felt that those few moments where we felt the Yad Hashem so strong in our lives, taking us from the bad and delivering out to the good, and then a few days later to experience, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, these moments. So it's hard. We don't have a Kriyas Yamsuf now. We don't have a Yitzias time. We're supposed to always feel everything that happens in the negative comes to emotion, everything happens in the positive. Bez Hashem, if we could really feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will finally reveal himself begolui. So we shouldn't have to look for him in the darkness. We should be able to have him revealed begolui. May this be a Chodesh Nisan of feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands in it. May it be marked by Geula and Yeshua. May that day come in here via Menu.